Cue the music. This is episode 11. All right. Well, welcome everyone to Going the Distance, the Rocky and Creed series podcast. We're glad that you joined us and you continue to join us on this Creed journey. I am your host, Ryan. And with me again, of course, is Kyle and Katie. I just realized, of course, K and K.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Luckily, your name doesn't start with a K or we'd have a problem.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Well, actually, my nickname in high school was Chemo Bubby.
That's very, what is that from?
Long story, we'll save, we do not want to bore our listeners.
That's a long one. It's okay. All right.
Yeah, that's what she said. Okay, so go ahead and, go ahead, Katie, and start with the mailbag. We got a lot of mail and a lot of discussion points. Yeah.
A lot. Okay, so the first is an iTunes review, but I don't see who it's from.
It's from Peter Schuler.
Oh, at the end it does. Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
I see that now. I'm ill prepared. Apologies. It's a 5-star iTunes review and says, I'm shocked to discover that the Russian referee in Rocky IV is the same referee from Rocky III in the first bout with Clubber Lang. If it weren't for Kyle, I may not have realized this. Also, Katie is definitely a warm welcome to the podcast. Similar to Spinal Tap's Derek Smalls being a lukewarm element in the band, Katie manages to placate the dichotomy of both Ryan and Kyle's humor and wit with her amicable and soothing voice. By the way, Katie, do you speak German? Nein.
Oh, wow.
I can say, ich liebe dich, which I think is I love you.
That sounds like a pickup line at a gay bar.
I know. and I can say, ja oder nein, and ein zwei drei. That's the extent of my Deutsch.
Oh.
Oh, no. Guten Tag. There we go. That's it. So all apologies, right. Peter. And then he says, most of their podcasts are professionally edited.
Most.
Composed. And have a runtime of about 45 minutes. Factual and hilarious anecdotes that rarely digress too much from the main topic of Stallone. Very humble and at times self-deprecating humor that most Gen X audiences could relate to. The best Stallone podcast, hands down. Peter Schuler, Melbourne, Australia. That's a nice review. Thank you, Peter. Very professional.
And Peter, if you could please explain yourself. He did two reviews. I cut and pasted the two into one reading. But the first one where he talks about us being, talking about the German, and he made that one 4 stars. And then he gave us a second review of 5 stars. But other than that, Peter, we appreciate it. But I'm not too sure what, I guess one episode might have garnered a 4-star versus the 5-star. So, Peter, can you just do us a favor? Don't leave us a review if you're going to give us a 4-star. No, thank you, Peter. I appreciate it. I think you might be a Patreon too. So thank you.
That's awesome. I love it. Australia. I love all the listeners from all over the place. It's great.
Isn't it weird that like someone in Australia listens to us talk about Rocky? So often I'll be like working in the yard or something and listening to a podcast. Think of like someone in Australia doing something, listening to me is kind of surreal.
It is odd. It is weird that people are listening to us, but we thank you guys for sure.
Probably speaks more to wide audience of Rocky.
It's not us. Yeah, it's Stallone. Stallone is a worldwide draw. I don't know why anyone listens to us, but we appreciate it.
There's an email for episode 8 from Greg the First. Says Ryan, Kyle, and Katie just finished episode 8, as you might expect. I have a few quick thoughts. Right off the top, Katie, you are not alone. I have not seen any of the Star Wars movies, nor any of the Star Trek movies and TV shows. So don't feel so bad. I was a little too young for the original trilogy, and my parents were not fans. And I think it just made it easy for that phenomenon to skip right over me. So there, ha, you guys.
Wow, you and Greg the First, what an army.
Then he says, I had one other random observation before I get into the part of the movie covered in episode 8. I can't remember if you brought up in the show before that the actor who plays Pete was in The Dark Knight. He plays the Chechen mobster with the dogs. When I first saw Creed, I did not make the connection, but anytime I see The Dark Knight now, I cannot see as anyone other than Pete Scarino from Creed. I don't recall that. It's been a while since I've seen The Dark Knight, though.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
I did look him up, though. He's an English actor. Hmm. I didn't realize that because we had talked about he does like such a good mob accent, like a Italian mob accent.
His European accent in The Dark Knight was pretty good, too. I find English people are way better at doing our accent than vice versa.
True.
And probably because they hear it more as well. There's always American stuff on TV there.
So Greg the First goes on to say, I do have two episode-specific observations. First, Katie asked if Adonis was being pushy, inviting himself to live with Rocky to train for the Sabrina fight. And I think Kyle was right on track. In my opinion, Adonis wanted to show Rocky how serious he is about taking this fight and putting in the effort and work required to step into the ring with a more accomplished fighter. He wants to show the level of commitment necessary to get Rocky to agree to taking the fight. And lastly, for one of the first times, Kyle and I have differing opinions on Bianca kidding Adonis about his uncle being white. Kyle said it was a BS line. She never would have said that, but I have a completely different perspective. My reading of that Bianca immediately clocks that Adonis is getting into a van with Rocky Balboa. I think that gives her the confidence to make the joke in front of Rocky, whereas I think she would have been more sensitive, woke, about it if it was a random white dude and not Philadelphia's favorite son. I think she is very intentionally waiting for a moment when she can ask Adonis why he didn't tell her about Rocky apparently being his uncle, and she does wait until Rocky is inside his van before bringing that up. So it all tracks for me. However, I do not think that she has any inkling that Adonis is Apollo's son. I think that's pretty clear a little later when she does find out the truth. Thanks as always, Greg the First. I hadn't thought about that before. That does make sense. His perspective makes sense.
I admit, as we're watching this movie for the show, that I'm watching it again for the first time in a few years. I think Greg might have a better remembering of the film. So I'd forgotten about, there is a scene later where, yes, where the revelation is given to Bianca about the heritage of Adonis, that's the giveaway that she didn't have that idea. Yeah, okay, that's fair. And Greg disagrees with you, Kyle. It's not often that Greg often disagrees with me, so it's nice to see that he disagreed with Kyle there, so I appreciate that.
It has to happen occasionally.
That's true.
Every now and again.
Oh, I think his opinion is reasonable. I don't know if it's changed my mind necessarily, but it's like, yeah, it could be true. It's not illogical or anything. So, yeah, like it makes sense. I do agree with him that I don't think she knew that Donis is related to Apollo either.
I had forgotten about that. Same when we're watching it now. I haven't seen Creed very often. We clearly are shown that later, as Greg the First points out.
Right.
The next one. So there's a photo attachment. Ryan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Keep reading. I'll get it ready.
So this one is from Patrick Mentel, and the subject is Creed Episode 9. Hello, Ryan, Kyle, and Katie. Another very good episode. Keep them coming. Rocky and dancing. He danced with Adrian in Rocky 5 when they arrived at their house after the airport press conference, right before he made that I violate you like a parking meter joke.
I can't believe I forgot that. When he wrote that, and I love these guys. Thanks for the emails. It's not your guys' fault, but there's a couple more stuff coming up where I'm like, oh, I can't believe I missed that. But when you're doing the show, there's just little things. Like, I know as a listener of podcast myself, there'd be times I'm listening to another podcast, like, yeah, but guys. Sometimes it's easier to be the armchair.
Yeah, yelling at the podcast.
Yeah.
It's like, they can't hear you.
But that's a great, yeah. But I remember saying in the episode, I think there was a time that he was dancing. I just couldn't remember the scene. But yes, when they're going to violate you like a parking meter, does a little bit of a jig with Adrian at the
corner. Close to quarter first.
Yeah, that's right.
So then he says, regarding the training, the distance between Rocky's apartment in Creed and the Front Street gym is 9 miles, as on Google Maps. Mm. That's a nice little warm-up run Rocky came up with for Adonis. Yeah, we were talking about how it must have been quite a little jaunt.
I know Mike Tyson used to do 6 mile runs every morning.
Okay. When I'm off work, I jog, and it's just over 4 miles, and I'm not a crazy runner that or in shape like Adonis. So to double that, I could see it. I can definitely do further too. Like I could do 9 miles if I wanted. I just don't. So for Adonis to do it in his young shape, it's a reasonable amount. It would have taken him about an hour for sure. Yeah.
And you have to keep up with the van, right?
Yeah. Well, like, he was going fast. Yeah.
That would have been tough. Like that's Rocky sending the message. I'm going to push you, essentially.
Indeed. So then it says, talking about locations. Right now, I would have been in Philadelphia with two friends for a week-long full-on Rocky trip. We had everything in place. The flights and the hotel were booked. We booked a tour with Mike Kukunda. We had a table at Victor Cafe, which is Adrian's. Due to COVID-19, however, we had to cancel everything. Too bad. Hopefully, we can do it next year. I've been to Philly once back in 97, but just for 2 days. The running up the steps to this day is one of my most memorable things ever in my life. I attached a picture.
And that picture is showing right now for our Patreon listeners. And for as little as $1 a month, you can watch these videos and help pay for the feed. There he is on top of the steps there for our viewers. They get to see it right now.
But there's no one else there. That's a pretty amazing picture, like not to have a bunch of other tourists in it.
Good point. Yeah, it's weird.
That's awesome.
We should all do a trip to Philly. I fantasize about that, having like a podcast get together in Philadelphia, you know, once this COVID stuff dies down, doing the Kunda tour. And
I would absolutely love it. You'll have to be our tour guide, though. Aren't you the only one of us who's been, Kyle?
Yeah. I haven't done all the Mike Kunda stuff, though, but I have been to the steps, and I've been to like Independence Hall and places like that. I guess that qualifies me as a semi-expert on Philadelphia.
That's awesome. I would love to do that. And I'm so sorry, listeners. I have to apologize in advance. Balboa, my dog here, had surgery last week. And so I have to keep a close eye on her. So she's the annoyance in the background. So apologies.
No, it's
and to the listeners, she is wearing the cone of shame right now.
Yes.
The dog, not Katie.
Yes. But her name is Balboa, so I figured that it's fitting that she joins the podcast today.
It's fine.
She has every right to be here. If you're named after Rocky, you're automatically entitled to participate in the podcast. I could say that even though I have no control at all. But
we have no problem having a bitch on camera. It's
Clearly. Patrick, I feel for you. That really sucks. I had two trips canceled myself, like pretty like bucket listy trips this year that had to be canceled. So I'm really sorry. And please update us when you go next year.
Yeah, I hope this COVID thing lifts. Yeah, I was hoping to go while I'm only 6 hours away by car, but right now the border's closed. I can't even drive down to Philly. It's really frustrating.
Oh yeah, if you are really close, that would be.
It's one reason why I took this. Yeah, it's one reason why I took this posting was to. That was my bucket list, was to drive to Philly because it's only 6 hours away. Stupid
close. Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really close. Okay.
I really hope I could hitch a ride on there because I do business trips to. I used to do business trips to Montreal before COVID. In fact, I have a client that lives in the town that Ryan lives in, so it's like. Everything was just coming together, and then this COVID just crushed it for good. But,
yeah, we might be leaving back to BC as early as summer 21. So if this border doesn't open before then, we're screwed. So
you might just have to bite the bullet and fly there from Vancouver, because even when like the border thing lifts, I don't know if it's safe to be driving down there like COVID-wise.
It's still on my bucket list. I'm not dead yet. But yeah, one day I'm just going to have to pay the price and fly. And Becky, my wife, has already said that I'll just go by myself by plane, spend a few days and come back. Yeah.
Man, I was thinking, though, if we were in Philly, the one thing we couldn't do is go for cheesesteaks because we have the keto guy and the vegan.
What we'd have to do is go to two different places because we'd go to a place for Ryan and you'd just get it without the bread.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I guarantee there's a vegan version of it.
Oh, you're right. I'm sure we could find something.
Yeah.
And Kyle will just be like shaking his head at us as he does during the recording of the podcast as we eat.
So Patrick says, one last thing, the music, not only in the training scenes, but especially there, the music of Ludwig Göransson really shines. The Bill Conti and Vince DiCola scores set such a high bar over the first six movies. Goranson did the almost impossible and created so very beautiful and engaging melodies that fit the Rocky universe so well. So even if Rocky will not be in Creed 3 and they decide on omitting the Rocky melodies altogether, something I think they should, the Creed tunes will effortlessly do the job too. Looking forward to episode 10, cheers, Patrick. That's a good point. The bar was set extremely high and he did do a pretty good job.
Yeah, no, he did. And I think you have to kind of get a new composer for the Creed films. You kind of have to have create your own identity. And this guy's pretty switched on.
That was Patrick. And then we have an email from Adrian from across the pond. Hi, Ryan, Kyle, and Katie. I'm really enjoying the Creed coverage so far. I'm a proud Patreon member and enjoy the video and audio recordings. Katie is also a fine new addition to the corner and brings a lot to the ring. I like the analogy of us being in the corner together.
Yeah, it's great.
He says, I also enjoy the arms wide open intro. So bad, it's good. Did you know that the front man of Creed actually gave his thoughts on the movie? And then he linked to an article and quote, staff praises the cinematography in the movie as painting Philadelphia as a gritty tapestry with a flair for contrast, highlighting. And he describes the performances as good. But he criticizes the movie for not being about his band. I'm mainly emailing in, though, to discuss Adonis's future opponent, Pretty Ricky Conlan. Oh, before I move on, does anyone have anything to say about...
Well, I appreciate his humor. He's being humorous, and yeah. we get it. And that's why I do the song, because we're doing the Creed franchise. So it's interesting that he too is in on the joke that the movie's not about him. But so I like it. It's pretty meta, and the fact that he's spoken to the film named after, quote-unquote, his band... And that speaks to why I do what I do for my cover songs at the beginning. So it's all good. So I actually have Scott Stapp's humorous approval, you could say.
All right. So Adrian goes on to say, mainly emailing to discuss Adonis's future opponent, Pretty Ricky Conlan, played by Tony Bellew. Last year, Tony appeared on a popular British documentary reality TV series called SAS, Who Dares Wins. I don't know if it's SAS, Who Dares Wins.
Probably.
Is the name of the show.
Yeah.
After recently retiring from boxing. Have you guys heard of this?
No, it's probably a UK show.
Okay. He was one of the contestants on the celebrity version of the show. As you can imagine, Tony was very tough, manly, and clearly showed anger issues. He did extremely well in all of the physical challenges, but struggled with a lot of the more mentally intense challenges. He found it hard to show self-discipline and would sometimes lash out with other contestants and the SAS presenters. But it was clear he was struggling with a lot of personal demons. I actually felt sorry for him and was desperate for him to do well. Later on in the series, he discusses his mental health battles, issues with anger, and not knowing where he would go after retiring. I felt his honesty very raw, intense, and real. This clip shows some of this, and then he offers a YouTube clip. Sadly, he didn't make it all the way through the show and never completed the course. But he came across like a man looking for a new identity in this world of ours. I would love you guys to get him on your awesome show. I believe he would make a great guest. I personally think Tony acted very well in Creed, but after SAS, it's quite clear he was playing a similar person to him, which in itself isn't a criticism at all. Are there any other Rocky or Creed characters who you think would be able to succeed as an SAS member? Anyhow, keep going with this amazing podcast. Lots of love, Adrian. But as I was reading Adrian's synopsis of the show and how Tony Bellew was on it, my initial thought was that's exactly who Pretty Ricky Conlan is too. And then that was Adrian's thought. He would be a good guest. As to if there are any other Rocky or Creed characters who we think would be able to succeed as an SAS member, I don't know anything about the show. I hate that I'm not, I don't know. No, do you guys?
Well, as any good podcaster would have done this research before reading the email, which is on me. I don't know the show.
I should have read these before. I should have pre-read these emails.
Oh, okay. Here we go. I got it here. So SAS, yeah, it's called Who Dares Wins. It's got four seasons. Five ex-Special Force soldiers recreate the SAS secret selection process
Oh, yeah.
and put men through it. in the ultimate test of their physical and, more importantly, their psychological resilience. Okay, so that makes sense that he'd be a be in the competition for this, compete. So he did well with the physical parts, but that's what the same made the psychological or the mental parts he struggled with. So that sounds like a very interesting documentary series. So my apologies, there's 7 seasons of this show. So there you go. So
it sounds like Navy SEALs type training.
Yeah, exactly.
Rocky would be good. I think Rocky has clearly shown that he can go through some pretty insane mental and physical anguish.
Not mental. They're probably there's stuff they have to figure out, probably like problem solving or puzzle solving or who knows, code solving. I don't know if Rocky, he couldn't read. Well, not till Rocky 3 anyways. Apollo would have done well.
Yeah. I was going to say Michael B because I was thinking of the actual actor, not the character of Adonis. I don't think Adonis would have done well for similar reasons that Tony didn't do well. As I think some of the anger issues and some of the emotional stuff from the description you gave of the show seemed to be the higher weighted thing, was the more the mental and psychological over the physical. So, yeah. Yeah, I think Apollo, if you brought him, like if he had a time machine and brought him like the younger version of him in the show, he seems like the kind of person that could just do anything he wanted.
Yeah.
I was
just going to say Apollo was he was smart, intelligent, business savvy, incredible athlete. He was all around the best guy. Absolutely. I was going to say that if it came to selling merchandise, we'd use Pauly. Pauly would be the merchandise.
Yes, of course.
He knows about that kind of stuff.
Probably would be great. Like a reality show is someone who like tests your resilience in terms of like, say you're like locked in a room with Pauly for like 15 hours or something, and you have to get through there without hurting him or having otherwise having a breakdown.
Or he would have been good just like in a show like Big Brother. It would have been interesting to see like a young version, because they always vote out the old people, but make a young version of Pauly, like a 25-year-old Pauly with his ability to manipulate and kind of intimidate at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Pauly would be hilarious.
Yeah.
I think I'm disagreeing a little bit about – well, we can move on.
No. What's your thoughts?
Apollo, I don't think that from a mental standpoint, I think he doesn't do well when things don't go his way.
Mm, okay, that's fair. Yeah.
I'm still going to go with Rocky a little bit.
No, you will agree with us.
Good one.
Let me mansplain to you why our reasoning is better.
Or Drago. I mean, I think Drago would even do better than...
How can we forget Drago? Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Drago. Yeah, but like Drago never gives you the sense that he thinks for himself.
No, he did. Mary says he fights for himself in round 13 or whatever. He declares he fights for
himself. Yeah. My made up Russian their made up Russian.
Well, you speak Russian better than you do German.
Yeah. Yes, I'm multilingual.
Yeah, nice.
I love that take, Adrian. We wouldn't have ever thought of to have a discussion like that.
So I just want to say, yeah, Adrian, he's a great listener, supporter of the show. He does his own podcast, so it's only fair that I plug it. I don't know why he gets more listeners than I do. But anyways, it's called Arcade Attack. They are a retro video game podcast out of the UK. Mm-hmm. They do a great job. They get great guests on their shows. They've done an amazing product, really. They're truly professionals. Other than their stupid accents, they're a really good podcast.
Actually, doesn't he sound extra smart?
That's the problem. They sound more intelligent. Even if he comes around and insults us, it'll sound better. It will just sound more intelligent. You know, bugger those guys or something they'll say. I don't know. Bloody hell, pish posh on that podcast.
The next one is titled, the subject is Creed 9, and this is from Greg the First. Ryan, Kyle, and Katie, first off, thanks for reading one of my emails on this episode. You are cranking out new episodes faster than I can keep up.
Not anymore.
A few things I wanted to touch on that were mentioned on that episode. One, the skepticism over Adrian and Polly's graves still being there caused me to research Laurel Hill Cemetery further, and I cannot find anything to dispute my claim that they are still there. In fact, according to this article, there are several other fictional characters buried there, including Harry Potter and Indiana Jones.
What? Sorry, why is Harry Potter and Indiana Jones buried? Their characters are alive on TV and the actors that play them too.
Not only that, but the cemetery has a gift shop where you can buy a replica print of Adrian's headstone.
Yeah, a cemetery is a gift shop. That is the weirdest.
This must be the Polly and Adrian one makes sense because it's Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But Harry Potter and Indiana Jones and the fact that they have a gift shop, this must be like the cemetery for movies.
It might, like, it must be. I wonder if they have a, like a little Rocky folding chair you can buy.
Maybe.
One thing I'd love to do to visit my deceased loved one is go past the tourists and go past the gift shop.
Yeah,
you know, maybe get some popcorn or a beer or something.
Well, you know what? That might be the draw. There's probably Rocky fans that have been buried there.
There must be something. So this is...
Wait. So what did Rocky say to the Undertaker?
Oh, what?
The Undertaker... Oh.
To the Undertaker. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind burying me too much.
Did you just think of that, or were you waiting?
I just thought of that. Oh, man.
That's okay.
All right.
That's right.
Did I prepare? Are you kidding me? People listening to the show, do you think I have ever prepared for the show? We didn't even know what SAS was. We were reading the email.
I know. I should have read these before now.
Oh, the British have the best shows, though. There's this show. Have you ever heard of Naked Attraction?
No.
No, but I'm tempted to sign up for BritBox because you're right. They do have some really great shows.
So they have like a person and they're trying to find a love interest.
Okay, I think I
have. And all the other people they want to, all the contestants, who it's kind of like The Bachelor or whatever, are naked. And they're behind the screen and they raise the screen up and up and up. And so they're like, I don't know. They're looking at their genitals and being like, "Oh, which kind do you like, or this or that?" It's and yeah, and then at the end, the other person goes out naked. It's very explicit. Wow. I watched it for research purposes.
Do they show the naked people on the TV screen?
Yeah, like you see everything.
Oh, it's not blurred out. Like it's a
no. It's like very. It's totally explicit.
Wow.
Is the wow or the shock factor that people choose a date based on the body and then it turns out their faces are terrible or something?
Well, okay, so what happens is the first level, they have like this blocker that goes in front of each person and it'll go up intermittently. And so the first thing you see is the person's genitals and that's it.
I'm knocked out first round.
That's
they're very normal looking genitals. You don't see like right. No, like there's
still that's so strange.
It is. Well, of course it's strange. It's totally ridiculous.
And then they'll eliminate somebody. It'll go up a bit, so you see like their midsection or their chest. And then another person will be eliminated, and then it goes up to their face. And the people who are being judged at this point are not allowed to speak. It's just based on physicality alone. It's like Naked Attraction. You have to pick someone based on just their looks.
I would be so good at this show because everyone tells me that that's my biggest problem, that I'm too into looks. Like I should choose a partner based on other things other than looks, which of course I do, but looks are very important. So I actually want to go on this show.
Hmm.
And
the only thing is, Katie, is that the person choosing also has to get naked at the end on TV.
I would do it, just not on TV.
Yeah. Just on Patreon, so for $1 a month, you that should give us a few more Patreons.
We really got off topic there. His point was over the Laurel Hill Cemetery. And somehow we, I don't know how that happened, but that was his first point. His second point is I am not the biggest Godfather fan, though I have seen the movies. Is weird, but he says he has seen the movies. But didn't you forget the biggest connection between Godfather and Rocky? Talia Shire appearing in both franchises. So yes, of course. But when were we talking about?
We were saying that Robert De Niro was in Godfather Part Two.
Yeah.
So if he was in Godfather Part Two, then he was in Grudge Match with a person that looks like Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, and they're saying, why didn't you guys say
Talia Shire? Shire, Rocky's wife, was in the Godfather film. So there's your, it's a more obvious connection. He's absolutely correct. We totally missed, and I
forgot the context in which we were discussing that. Yeah, okay.
So absolutely. He's absolutely correct. But we got a few people calling us out on that, and they're all right. Everyone's absolutely right. We missed the boat, and it was a, it was a bad miss. All right.
Yeah. It was. And she's super pretty in it, too.
It's peak Talia Shire, yeah.
Yeah. Three, I mentioned in a previous email that Stallone deserved the Oscar, and I just wanted to expand on that a little bit. Even if Mark Rylance's performance, and he says in parentheses, I did not see Bridge of Spies, so I cannot comment. I didn't either. So even if Mark Rylance's performance was slightly better, Stallone's performance was still fantastic, and he should have been rewarded for a lifetime of bringing Rocky Balboa to life by the Academy. Totally agree. While there are a lot of characters that have endured over the decades, like James Bond, for instance, is there another character that has not only endured but been played by the same actor every single time? Stallone, as Rocky Balboa, has appeared on screen at least once in a new movie for five straight decades. It is a remarkable achievement. I just feel he deserved the award for that reason alone. I wholeheartedly agree. And I think we had similar sentiments when we were discussing it. So I think he's sharing that.
Yeah, agreed.
It is remarkable. I mean, it's...
Well, that's why we're doing this freaking podcast. Yeah, we agree that he was robbed. At the end of the day, he was robbed. He was robbed.
Yep. Number four, I don't think there needed to be an explicit scene of Rocky Adonis agreeing to the Sabrina fight. It is implied when Donnie says, I'll move in with you, and then we cut to him packing up and actually moved in and starting to train, that Donnie would only be doing that if it was to ramp up their training specifically for that fight. I agree with Kyle. A specific scene would have been redundant. Kyle always brings up good points. Everyone, a lot of people agree with your points, Kyle.
Episode 10, Kyle was not there, and probably is one of our weakest episodes, Katie. It's probably one of our weakest episodes.
Dang it. Five. Last but not least, it would be great if you were able to get Ludwig Göransson to agree to an interview.
Sure.
I know I've said it before, but his soundtrack is amazing, and I think really seamlessly ties Creed and the original six Rocky movies together. That's all for now, Greg. The first, P.S., the pace at which you are covering the film is perfect for me. Creed and Creed 2 are the two longest movies in the franchise, so I'd expect you to end up with a few more episodes than in a typical season.
All right. Well, with the pace that we're doing this episode, that probably will happen. And that's not a bad thing, guys. We did get some lengthy emails, and I hope our listeners don't mind, because it adds fodder to our discussion, because we could just break down the film. But a lot of podcasts just talk about the film, and we've all seen the films. But I really like these discussion points. There's some really strong emails today, strong discussion points. We are going to get to covering maybe a scene or two in the film shortly. But yeah, I'm enjoying doing the Creed films. Thank you, Greg the First, and everyone else that emailed us. And we've already said your name, so thank you. Let's quickly just do a Twitter, because the reason why this is fun is because, Katie, you Milo Ventimiglia is following you again.
It's probably just like a rotating one, you know.
Well, I think he stopped following you, but he's following again. His tweets are protected, though. So can you do me a favor? Can you follow him back? Because right now he has zero followers.
Why would I follow him back?
Because his tweets are protected. I want to see what he's saying. I want you to report on what he's saying. Milo Ventimiglia, and his bio is greatest among greats. So there you go. Must be the real guy. You also have Michael Hart following you. Michael Hart, his bio is that he goes, I love my muscles. That's what he says.
Very humble.
Now you have two blue checkmark people following you. Did you know that?
What does that mean?
I love it. It means they're like, it means like they're important verified accounts. They're like real accounts. They're not just, you know, people like us.
Like the real Donald Trump?
Yeah. So
does he have a blue check mark?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's funny how you don't know, though. Yeah. So blue check mark means it's a verified account. So celebrities often have them. So it's not, you know, so Milo Ventimiglia should have one, the real one, to show that they're a real account. So this individual, her name is Julie Capiello. Do you know that person?
Oh, it's probably because what we have in condom.
Oh boy.
Animal is what? What'd you say? I didn't hear you.
You said condom.
Did I?
Yeah. It was a. It's fine. Go on. Yeah, she's an animal advocate.
Yes, that's okay. What we have in common.
There you go. Yeah, so she's an animal advocate, and she's a Biden-Harris supporter.
So, a couple things.
There you go. That's fair.
I think is also the urban farmer. Same. I think that's the other checkmark one.
NV congressional candidate, socialist, M4A UBI, he, him. Why do people do that, he, him? What does that mean?
That is like nowadays saying like how you identify.
Black Lives Matter, vegan AF, animal rights. So he's a vegan and he's a guy. Is that what he's telling me?
His sex is male, but his gender identity is also male based on the pronouns he's giving you. I could put she, her for mine if I wanted to, if I identified as female, even though I present as male.
It's becoming a thing on LinkedIn, too. People are particularly younger people. I think maybe we're old or something, but just like how they want to be referred to. They'll include pronouns.
You also have a guy named I love you, or I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, there you go, I love you. His bio is LOL, nah. Okay, so he's following you. And then Jake Giese, he's a big supporter of the show, so I know he listens. Jake, shout out for following Katie. And lastly, you got a lot of people this week. Lastly, you got Mark. Mark, he's a peacemaker, and he's following you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking now based on the tweets. Yeah.
Okay. And Kyle, you have Claudine following you. We said this on the show that you missed there, Kyle, but she is a Katie lookalike. Did you notice that?
Yeah. And my translation of her thing is she's saying, my first name is Claudine and I am single without kids.
She is ready for you, brah.
Why is it French ones every time?
and that's not the first one who has said single without kids. Like, so there must be, that must be a thing. People create profiles to try and like.
But the French woman love Kyle. Rocky Minute, the podcast, follows you. Henry Kosinski follows you. He's been he has his own podcast called the Creation Podcast. Jared Talkstein is following you. He is an HSN producer. Wow. Home Shopping Network producer, man on the scene, is a huge nerd, and he's following you, Kyle.
Well, you follow him as well.
Do I?
It says followed by Ryan Rebalkin.
Oh, okay. I follow him on my personal account. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then the Double Stop Podcast, they're following you too. So go shout out to the Double Stop Podcast. Of course, we'll shout out anyone that follows the show. So there you go. All right. So that was a big housekeeping. We haven't recorded in a couple weeks, and I hope that's okay for everybody. But there were some really great emails. Now what we're going to do is we're going to pause really quick for our live watchers. And we're going to roll into Zoom, and we're going to do Creed, the movie. We're going to break that down. Ready?
I'll let you know that I just got done listening to your week on the Rocky Minute.
Oh, that's funny. That was actually the first time I ever talked with Doug, I think. That was our first time verbally talking to each other.
How long ago was that?
Yeah,
like, I don't know how much farther.
Real time, it probably would have been two and a half years ago. Yeah. How was it?
Good. Like up, like minute 100-ish, late 90s or...
What scene did I cover again on season one?
You had good scenes.
I picked them.
You did? Okay. Yeah. I was like, yeah, you did have good scenes. Well, I lied because I done with yours. And then there was some female comedian that was on that had never seen the movie before.
Female comedian? Is that possible?
I know, right? The only reason I say that is because my... I was telling my friend Kim, who she's loving the podcast, by the way, and she's never seen the movies. And I was telling her that apparently it's a thing. Like, I don't know that much about podcasts, but that, you know, I was nervous because you had mentioned a lot of people don't like females on podcasts, and she was saying that too. That she's like, yeah, I don't know what the deal is for whatever reason. There's always like a bigger hurdle, whether it's a news person or whatever. Anything. And I brought up the comedian thing, that female comedians get a hard time also. Anyway,
it's weird. I don't know what it is. I think men are just better. I could be wrong, but
I came in at a great time. All I heard is men are just better.
You are wrong. That's what it is.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. All right, guys, I'm just setting up the movie here. And Kyle, you missed the Leo fight. Is there anything you want to talk?
I missed that.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sure you guys did a good job covering.
Well, we did okay, but we actually, the first thing we said is like, we're going to wish that, well, we always wish you were there, but you just speak better about the fights. You're better at talking about the fights than I am.
I liked the fight. Did you guys finish it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Kyle, the biggest thing that was brought up that we thought you would be able to speak to was that he gets up at count eight, but somehow, I'm sorry, Sperino gets up at eight and he's somehow still lost the fight. And so,
that's understandable. Yeah. So what happens is when you're knocked down, even if you get up, the ref has to make an assessment of whether you're still in a state where you can continue the fight. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll say something like, you know, are you good? Are you okay? Or say your name. But sometimes they just look in your face or just look at you, and they could, like, if you're kind of out of it, you manage to stand up, but you're not clear headed. The ref will often stop it there because you can't reasonably continue the fight. Like, it's too risky. Like, you'll obviously just get knocked down right away again. So yeah, that's the ref's discretion there. The ref has to dust off your, like, they have to clear your gloves first before you can continue. And if you don't pass the ref's test, you're done.
Yeah. So that's what you thought too, Ryan. It was annoying. Oh, but I guess that was them modernizing.
Well, I was going to say that was making it more realistic because other fighters have let boxers die in the ring and get hit with chairs.
Yeah. Lou Filippo would have been like, well, he's still breathing. So
people pay good money. People pay good money for this event. We'd rather let them keep fighting.
I think that fight showcased Adonis's weaknesses, though, big time.
How so?
He got smacked around that whole fight. He basically just had a couple good punches that knocked Leo out, but otherwise he was totally outclassed. That first round, Leo dominated him big time. You could say that's because Adonis was so nervous. Leo is obviously a more seasoned and more experienced fighter. When Rocky gives Creed that advice to, like, do the shovel hook and then with the right hand, that works great. But he kind of had to borrow that experience from Rocky, and it kind of will put into question whether Adonis has what it takes to fight the champion, which is very similar to what you would have said about Rocky 40 years ago or however long it was.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts. I knew we wouldn't start until you shared what you wanted to share regarding the fight, so thank you for that. Okay, so right after they said, let's go celebrate or something like that. Is that what they said? Let's go celebrate?
Yeah. And then they were like eating ice cream on the couch and watching a movie.
Yeah. So that's where we are now. So let's check it out.
They were going to like go out on the town.
That's
tear
right.
The town up tear or something. The town up. Yeah.
That's funny. I like that. Now they're watching. What are they watching here? So they're at home eating ice cream and they're chilling. They're watching. It's a James Bond film, I think, isn't it?
It looks like Daniel Craig. So I would assume so.
It's probably MGM. Did they do James Bond? Same company?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of which, it just got announced today that I actually really quite enjoyed the Daniel Craig James Bond films, but they just announced today that it's a very, very good chance that James Bond, the last Daniel Craig film, is going to be streaming after all. That won't hit theaters. What a weird time we live in, eh?
Speaking of movies that are not hitting theaters, but you should watch, Borat 2 came out today.
I'm hearing some really good things about it. I can't wait to see it.
I love Sacha Baron Cohen and Borat, and so I plan to watch it this weekend.
Yeah.
I rented Borat, the first movie, again.
I should. I don't really even remember the first one.
Well, you could probably watch the second one without. I don't think it follows the storyline.
That's true.
I did listen to a podcast that breaks down the Giuliani scene, what happened exactly there.
You know, I purposely avoided learning anything about that other than the fact that it's in a hotel room because I want to be fresh when I see it.
Okay. I'll zip my lips. Adonis has fallen asleep on the couch. Rocky pulls a blanket and puts it over him, just like a loving father would for a son, almost. You did good kid type behavior here from Rocky playing father.
And Copper Link is in the background, but there's only one turtle.
So, well, I don't know. Might be off screen. Just might be off screen or... I assume both turtles are there, but good catch on Cuff and Link. I think that one's Link, by the way. That one's Link.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll trust you.
Yep. I think they're showing here they're all eating Breyers ice cream because, you know, of course, it's after a fight. You can kind of indulge yourself here in some.
That's a big Oreo ice cream, too.
So Rocky's going up to his room, squeaky stairs. I have wooden stairs, too, that go from the main floor. I'm in the man cave right here. We have three floors in this house. And so the going up the stairs from here to the main floor, the stairs always do that kind of like wooden floor creak. And it drives me up the wall because I feel like it just reverberates through the house in the morning and stuff. But, yeah, it just reminded me of that. As he's trying to quietly go up the stairs, he's like, squeak, squeak, squeak.
It was a nice touch, though.
It gives a little character to the home.
Now.
Oh, yeah, she's going to wake.
She's tucked in. Now that Rocky's gone, she's like.
Finally. Well, now she can weaken his legs. The fight's over.
Yeah, exactly.
So for our listeners, Bianca has now come onto the frame. That's what we're saying here. The chaperone has left the date.
Yeah, she's like, probably like the last hour, she was like, you could go now.
Yeah, it's funny.
You could go, Rocky. Aren't you tired? I thought old people like to go to bed early.
She spiked his drink.
Hey, I made something for you.
All right, so she said, I made something for you, and she's about to put earbuds into his ears. He just got his head punched in by a boxer. Hasn't he suffered enough? He doesn't have to listen to your music.
Yeah, I don't really like this scene a whole lot myself.
Let's play it through and then we'll talk about it. Let's play this scene through. So that's for our listeners, that's what's about to happen. She's about to put the earbuds in and this is what she made for him. What a treat.
Keep him close.
Mm-hmm. Is that her singing? Is that what we're understanding?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Does anyone listen to this truly and enjoy it?
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, the lyrics are
childish. Nice, are they? No. Everywhere I go, I think of you or whatever. Okay. Oh, yeah. Kiss. So now they're macking out on Rocky's couch. Probably where Polly did something with his girlfriend there.
Yeah. He's asleep. Hey, he old, man.
This is like when you're a teenager.
They're about to have coitus on screen.
It totally is on your parents' couch. It totally is like teenage business.
Yeah, they've gone to bed now.
I'm not a prude. I've watched Game of Thrones, Rome, you know, Sopranos. But those...
Or pornography.
Yeah.
It's okay. Not G-rated for pop here.
Yeah, right? It's not graphic. I'm watching this with my 12-year-old son now. It's a weird little moment of, okay, like she straddles him. He takes off her shirt and sort of glistening with sweat. And there's a little bit of a cowboy motion with herself, like a little bit of a grind. And I'm like, oh, it is PG-13. The thing is, like, it takes away a little bit from the Rocky spirit. It's like the equivalent of having a love scene in a Star Wars film.
There's like borderline rape scene in the first movie.
Oh, stop it with that one. No. Stop it.
No, I agree. And I'm even a woman. Like it's different watching it now, but that's not what we're talking about. I was actually going to bring that scene up now because there is a love scene. There are other love scenes. It's not that it's not in keeping with Rocky. There's something just about them. It just is awkward to me. I don't enjoy any of it.
Feels different. Maybe I can't explain it, but it does feel, you're right, they kissed, you ain't never getting rid of me. And you're right, Kyle, yes, there was that scene, Rocky with the kiss and go to the floor, and you hear a very subtle agent, it's very subtle. But for some reason, it seems sweeter. This doesn't seem as sweet. I don't know why.
There is something missing. I don't buy it either. No. This scene in another movie, a scene where they are going to get it on for the first time, you buy it. You're like, oh, and then it's two attractive people. You enjoy it. Beautiful people, pretty bodies. Something great's going to happen. But this, I don't enjoy any. I don't know why. And they're two pretty people, but somehow I don't like it.
That's weird.
I don't know. Somebody could put their finger on it. No,
I'm just joking.
No, yeah. I was like, absolutely no, but
maybe it's the music, a combination of the music. I think it's the straddle on the couch. Maybe it doesn't feel good. Rocky is just upstairs, but you know, Polly has violated a girlfriend like a parking meter on that couch. Like, I don't know.
Hey, Donnie, what's this stain on my couch about?
Polly didn't change that blanket, you know that.
Oh, God.
The other thing about their sex scenes or kissing scenes, romance scenes. This is probably the first we see it, but then for whatever reason, and maybe I'll put it in your head and it's going to bug you all now, the way she kisses him, she always puts her hands on his face and her nails. So all we see is like her hands with her fingernails on his face.
That's great.
Every time. Like she doesn't know how to kiss him without putting her hands on his face. Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay, here we go. Let's keep playing. The turtle gets the watch. That's the whole joke there. The turtle gets the watch.
That's some excitement that turtle's life. It's been in this little enclosure with nothing to do for decades.
Eggs?
Now having some eggs in the morning after.
But now he's cooking. Now cooked he's cooking. Eggs. Yeah.
How you feel? I'm good. I'm a little sore, but I'm all right.
You want some toast?
She's like, so am I.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. There's nothing wrong with that, you know? She might have...
Nothing.
Well, it's funny because he says he's sore from the fight. We get it, but it's like, I'm a little bit sore. She's like, oh, yeah, you are. It's like, okay, relax there, Bianca. He's literally just had a fight. It's got nothing to do with your straddle moves.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
So you cooking or you watching?
No, I'm looking you up.
You doing what?
I'm looking you up.
Don't do that. I'm right here.
She's saying she's looking them up. That's odd because they've already been together at least sexually at least once, if not more. You know, they were boyfriend and girlfriend. Like, when are you going to tell me you're going to move? There's no way.
She looked him up long ago. So I agree.
She's Googled him already. I agree with that. But I think she's looking him up now because she wants to see what kind of response there is to this fight he just had.
They should have worded it better.
Exactly.
Because both Katie and I thought it was the other. So I thought it was she's just Googling him like his Facebook, Instagram type thing. But you're saying, okay, the fight just happened.
What's everyone saying about it? Yeah.
I think that because you're right. Like she would have looked him up before. Like she wouldn't wait till now just for the first time looking him up.
So I agree with you. So better writing would have been. I want to see if your fight's making the rounds.
Yeah.
That would have been an easy line. Would have fixed that problem. Okay. Because he looked embarrassed about it. It looked like his reaction was that too. Like, he's like, don't look me up because she doesn't want to see anything about Creed in there. That's what I thought he was trying to, that he was being nervous about.
Yeah, he seems to think he's safe because of the last name.
Yeah, which is odd.
That's a terrible freeze frame on him. It was not flattering of Michael B., but still.
Yeah, he's a bit of a mouth breather. He does do a lot of mouth breathing. Some guys are mouth breathers. Very few females are, but a lot of guys are.
What's up?
You got something you want to tell me?
Here we go.
I'm just going to point out, too, they're eating cocoa pebbles for breakfast.
They're really good.
I haven't eaten cocoa pebbles since I was like 9.
I buy them now. I eat them.
No way. Do you really eat cocoa pebbles?
I eat kids' cereal all the way. Love it.
Wow.
Sugar Smacks. Yep.
I was never allowed to eat sugared cereal except like on Christmas or my birthday.
Same.
And I can buy it as much sugared cereal as I want now. Whenever I eat it, I can't do it. It's like too sweet.
My pre-keto diet was one of my, like, oh, I'll just have a bowl of cereal for a snack before bed, and that's just not good for you. But that was my treat, was having cereal. I loved it. I would eat, you know, Rice Krispies, Golden Grahams. Oh, I crave it. Now I'm craving it. Stop.
Cereal.
Growing up with three brothers, my parents buy a box of cereal. It's gone in one sitting, easily. One kid would eat the whole box in one sitting, All right, so she's all miffed now. She's all pissed. She found his browser history. he wishes that's all it was, but here we go.
Yeah.
She's put the phone on her phone on the counter, and it shows, of course, says Apollo Creed's son fighting in
Philly.
Philly, thank you. So there you go. It's revealed. Apollo and Adonis, their pictures are next to each other. Exclusive.
Philly with a lowercase p, which is not cool.
That's what I was wondering why it might say public. Yeah, it's a lowercase p in that headline. So this is what Greg the First was referring to right away. It's very apropos that his email came on this episode. Is that there's Bianca's reaction that she's mad that he never told her about his heritage.
Is it just me or is she like, why is she so pissed about that?
Great question. And I agree with your confusion. So Katie, let's say you're dating a guy. Is there a famous sports star that you like that's older now? I don't even know. Just trying to think what the connection would be.
Yeah.
Let's say Michael Jordan's son. Let's just pretend.
Okay.
So you're dating Michael.
His name's also Michael. Just theoretically.
Yeah, sure. So you're dating Michael Jordan's son, but yeah, let's just say it's Michael Smith or whatever, and he's a basketball player. He's in college, or sorry, now he's in the pros or whatever. He wants to make a name for himself, but you're dating, and then you find out, oh, you're Jordan's son. Are you angry?
No, I'm jazzed. I'm like, sweet. Because I completely understand why you wouldn't want the world to know that. Like, I would understand. And now I'm like, oh, sweet. Like, you wanted me to like you for you and not just because of who you are. And now you know that I do.
Yeah, and in now, a weird way, it works in your favor. It works in your favor as the one who was in the dark. Like, oh, I do like you for who you are.
Yeah. I think it's weird. She makes like a really big deal about them being honest, and then it's very high school.
It is.
Or junior high. How many females have you been with before me? Like, who asks that as an adult?
It's weird.
We're not in high school. That's a weird question.
Don't ask a question you don't want the answer to, number one.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I've never asked. I don't want to know.
I didn't lie.
You might as well. If you told me that your dad was some fighter, you didn't say he was the most famous fighter that ever lived.
People look at me differently when they know. They look at Apollo differently, too.
Yeah, Donnie, but I'm not people. I don't care about that shit. I do care about you keeping it 100 with me, though.
Keeping it 100 with me, though. Okay, easy. Does he know everything about her life? Everything? Her whole family history? Just because her parents aren't famous, he knows all about them right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also she's like, I'm not just people. I'm like, you've known each other for like 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, you just had sex for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, it's not like we've been together for like 6 years and you're like, oh, by the way,
dad. Yeah, that's different. Like, yeah, 6 years later. Yeah, like, yeah, sure. 6 years later. But yeah, has it been a month?
And like a real dude in this situation be like, take it or leave it. I don't need this.
People that know I'm a Creed, I can get laid.
Yeah.
As much as I want.
Yeah,
he does really like her.
That's good. Yeah, well, she's coming out with daggers. He could just say,
yeah,
this is important to me that it came out. The way it came, like, I've been outed the same way a gay person. Like, I've been outed before I want to be. So this actually hurts me.
Yeah, good point.
This is hurt. There's a reason why it's not public. There's a reason why I'm not ready to tell that story yet. And I just met you. And I'm not ready to tell that story. I don't know what you would do with that story. I'm still getting to know and trust you.
I heard a story once where Muhammad Ali said that he's like, one day I want to grow a beard and I want to go out and meet a woman. And then when she falls in love with me, I'll then take her to my $500,000 house overlooking my $1 million housing development. And then she'll know who I really am after that. But I want her to love me without knowing that I have those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's trying to say that there, and she's just like not having it. He's entitled to know that from day one.
I think, you remember Steve Young, that old San Francisco quarterback, San Francisco 49ers quarterback?
I do.
Katie, do you know that quarterback?
I have heard this name, but no, I don't.
Well, he's a very famous quarterback, very clean living, very, very straight arrow kind of guy. And he had a hard time finding a wife. He's a very handsome fellow, too. If you look at his pictures back in the 90s, he's a very handsome fellow, single, eligible, rich. And he finally found his wife because when he introduced himself to her, like, he was a Super Bowl champion quarterback. So when he introduced himself to his future wife, she didn't know who he was. Like, oh, finally. So he finally met somebody who legitimately just didn't know who he was. And he's like, oh, okay, we can go on a date now. Because you don't even know who she is. This is before the internet, too. So she couldn't even Google him at that point. So that's...
Yeah.
I imagine she'd find out quickly, though, if they went out in public.
Yeah, the connection was made before, though. That's what I mean. Like, he was able to connect with her before, with her not knowing that he was Steve Young, the football player. And they just made a connection independent of that knowledge.
If I were Adonis, I'd say, well, does that change anything between us that Apollo's my dad?
When would he have inserted that into a conversation? Like, he's not going to bring it up on their first date because they don't know if it's going to go anywhere. And they haven't been dating that long. Yeah, there was no really opportunity for this to come up yet.
Great as the accolades that Coogler got for this screenplay, and the writing of this film, there are a lot of weak parts in this. And this is one of them.
The non-Rocky points. It's always the non-Rocky.
The non-Rocky speaking parts, which Sly wrote all of, are the strength. And I hate, we have to criticize the director and the writing when it comes to the Bianca Adonis relationship. It's all on the paper. They're only having to act what they're told to say and do. It's not the actor's fault. So it's the screenwriter who happens to be the director. And look, we crapped over other films in the Rocky franchise where applicable. I don't think Creed should be an exception. I just feel like people think we're just crapping on Creed. We're not. Go back, listen to previous seasons, guys. We criticized moments of Rocky V especially. We made our points where necessary. And this is a scene and a point where it's like the vitriol attack that she's doing is, it's not endearing to her character, and it doesn't make sense. That's the problem. It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Let's continue with the argument. It's fun.
Well, listen. You're right, okay? No, seriously, look. You, 100% honesty from here on out.
All right, so his wife, that's not your mom?
Apollo had an affair with my mom. And she died when I was young. I bounced around foster care for a couple years. You know, in and out of juvie. And Marianne, she tracked me down and took me in. Anything else? Ask me.
How many females have you been with before me?
Anything else? Look, Bianca, come on now, you different.
How?
When I'm around you, I feel like I know you my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me you don't feel the same way about me.
Whatever, that's passion, that's infatuation, that phase.
Yeah, well, I can't see that happen.
Okay, so now she's being all coy and hard to get. It's like, okay, do you care or not care? Like, now you're, he's, you know, he's given a genuine apology. He's actually giving her more than she deserves. And he's, and I appreciate his saying, hey, I'm not giving you that information about the past. That's actually good on his part.
Yeah.
Right. But she's, I know she's kind of, her facial expressions are betraying a little bit of like she's forgiving him. We see that. He's like begging her to say, don't we feel something? I hate it when a partner in a relationship makes you beg for the love. Like, that's not how it works. It's either there or it isn't. Look, we had a little fumble, okay, but I'm being honest with you. This, you know, don't you feel the same for me now? And
she wants to be pursued right now. She wants him to make, like, a case for why they should be together. And she's giving him reasons not to, but they're not, like, that serious. Like, it's kind of like a vetting process or something like that. She realizes she could do that because he basically turned and apologized on a dime, right? And then she knew she's kind of in control of the situation. And I say, now you're going to chase me. We're going to haggle out terms of a relationship here. And I wouldn't say she's being manipulative. She's in control here.
No, they haven't known each other very long. But I think we've all been in situations where you meet someone and there is something very real there, very fast, regardless of whether you haven't known them that long. And so I think that's, so therefore neither of them really want to like put themselves out there too much, but he is doing that. And so she should receive it and reciprocate, but she is sort of doing that little, like, I want you to work just a little bit harder to have the upper hand, so to speak. Yeah.
It might not be right in our eyes, but she did feel hurt. That's fine. She did feel that her feelings aren't wrong, as they say, you know, in the sense like she's allowed to feel what she's feeling. And he is trying to show, look, it wasn't intentional. I didn't mean to hurt you. That wasn't my intention. So that's fair. Intentions do matter, I think. So it wasn't his intentions to hurt her.
You motivate me.
Okay, so I'm just motivation to
you? You want to find a problem with everything I said?
No, I want to find the real in what you're saying. Don't worry, it's cool. Maybe you're just motivation to me, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind that. What?
You two look like him, though.
Oh, I hate that. This is getting on my nerves.
Two things I love. They did make up. And she said, you do look like him, though, because he does actually look like him. But I was confused when he said, oh, she said, well, maybe you're just motivation for me, too, then. She took offense to him saying that you motivate me. And then she said, well, to try and throw it back in his face, she said, well, maybe you're just motivation for me too. And he said, I'm all right with that. And then that's how they made up. I'm like, wait, that doesn't make sense. Did I miss something?
No, you didn't miss anything. That's what they said.
At this point, they're not really fighting anymore. So you're just motivation for me. She knows that's bullshit. And so does he. That's his way of calling her out on it and being nice. And then she changes the subject by saying you do kind of look like him. And that's kind of the way of saying it's wrapped up now. That's her way of saying,
okay,
we're good. But without saying, okay, we're good.
Okay, that does make sense. But at first I was confused by it. But yeah, you're probably right.
Quick scene. The news reports the findings. Let's just hear that real quick.
You do look like him, though.
I hate that. This is killing my nerves.
Thank you. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. We begin today with the boxing world. Adonis Johnson, a little-known boxer being trained by Rocky Balboa, handed light heavyweight title contender Leo Sparino a second-round TKO defeat in Philadelphia last night. An anonymous source confirmed to ESPN that Johnson is the youngest biological son of Apollo Creed, a fact that was kept under wraps because Johnson was the product of Creed's infidelity. The boxing world is excited to have another Creed in the ring, but Wilbon, does knowledge of this affair damage Apollo Creed's legacy?
Damage his legacy? Let's go back for a second, a little history on Apollo Creed. I certainly have him right up there as maybe the best of all time in the discussion. He slipped. He made a mistake like a lot of people. This isn't going to be the first, particularly in the boxing world.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say it's going to kill his legacy.
I think it's an embarrassment. I think the family must have felt this embarrassment because they kept it under wraps for so long. But I really have one question.
What?
Can the kid fight as well as the old man?
That's a stretch.
So let's leave that as a tease for next episode that we'll start our discussion on the questions posed by those two pundits. Does it tarnish Apollo's legacy? Does being the son make it harder for him to be like his dad? And we'll save that for next week's or next episode's discussion.
Those newscasters, the background had the leg lamp from A Christmas Story. What's up with that?
Really? I missed that. Okay, we'll go back and look at that.
You know what I'm talking about? The leg lamp from A Christmas Story?
I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I believe you. I just haven't seen it in a long time. Again, if you want to send us an email, it's gtdwithrr@gmail.com. Keep those emails coming. We love the discussions. We love the support. Become a Patreon. The address is in the show description. For any donation you want, you just help pay for the feed, and you get to see these live videos. And they're released before the audio is released, so you actually get to hear them early and get your emails in early. Lastly, follow us on Twitter and our Facebook page, Go in the Distance, the Rocky Series Podcast. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. As always, it's a pleasure with you guys. Kyle, I'm glad you were here for this discussion, of course. We're just not as smart without you. You are the brains, as the emails and comments say. You're the brains. I don't know what it is. Katie's the
not
beauty.
Not the looks, that's for sure.
No, I was going to say, Katie's the beauty. You're the brains. And I'm the, I don't know what I am. I'm the...
comedic relief?
Yeah. Well,
you're the heart of the podcast,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Ooh.
You got heart, kid.
But I podcast like a GD ape. Yeah. All right, guys, you guys are awesome. You listeners are awesome. We do appreciate you. And check out the other shows on the feed as well, the Slycast episodes, and of course the Rocky Minute episodes. And we appreciate all the support and all the listeners. Thank you, guys.
Ding, ding.
All right, guys, thank you so much. Have a good night. This is good seeing you, and come to Canada, Katie.
Yeah, my God.
We'll sneak you.
Sneak me in.
We care. Kyle and I care.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you. I appreciate it. I hope your travels, you're back home safely, Kyle and Ryan. Hopefully work and your recruit are going well.
Yes, they are. And thank you. We got 10 seconds, so I didn't want to be rude. But yeah, thank you. All right, guys, you're awesome. We'll talk soon. Don't be strangers.
Okay.
Don't be strangers between recordings.
Sounds good. Bye, guys.
Take care.
Take care.